So far, algorithms have been a mirror reflecting some of our worst traits. But what if we tried to make them better than we are? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier this week, Google announced $25 million in grants for organizations working on artificial intelligence for social good, like stopping sex trafficking or wildlife conservation, or eliminating biases in algorithms that perpetuate things like racism and gender discrimination. It's an admission that algorithms and AI are not neutral, and more care should be taken with their design. Jamie Seskind is a lawyer and author of the new book Future Politics, Living Together in a World Transformed by Tech. He argues that we can actually design algorithms that reflect our highest ideals.
We are building these systems. They are controlled by humans. They are owned by humans. They are designed by humans. It is not beyond the ken of Google to make a system that doesn't come up with criminal background checks every time you search for the name of someone who sounds African American. Because it may well be that plenty of people have clicked on that in the past, but plenty of people can be kind of racist. So why would you build a system that replicates that rather than one which actively counters it?
It gets back to the who decides question, though, right? I mean, you are asking humans to make value judgments in order to create better algorithms. And some of those value judgments might be obvious, but, you know, we don't agree on much, apparently, anymore, ever.
I completely agree with you, but let's just break this down. Just looking back in the grand sweep of human history, there have always been contested values. But what humans have struggled for thousands of years is for some degree of oversight, or at the very least, some degree of transparency about the decision-making bodies that affect their lives. And in the past, they may have been kings or conquerors, and today, parliaments. And in the future, there'll be increasingly those who write the code that shapes our day-to-day lives. I look forward to a time where we can debate in good faith the political implications of Google's algorithm or Twitter's algorithm. But the truth is, most of it's kept secret just now. And if we can get to the latter world, the one that I just described, I think it will be an improvement on today's, because at the very least, then we can try to agree that the purpose shouldn't just be the enrichment of the tech firm, but rather the common good as a whole.
It feels like when you look at all of this, the distorting force here is going to be capitalism. Right? Like the reason not to make the algorithms transparent is going to be competition. And that seems to be a hard force to overcome.
And that's a key argument in my book. What we have is systems that are being generated, developed, and deployed pursuant to the logic of capitalism, which is fine. But actually, their consequences are kind of political. And the logic of politics would say, actually, they should be more used for the common good. They should be regulated and overseen. Whereas the logic of capitalism says they should be used to compete and they should be used to enrich.
Jamie Seskind is author of the new book, Future Politics, Living Together in a World Transformed by Tech. On that enrichment note, Google recently canceled a contract to develop AI with the Department of Defense and said it wouldn't develop weapons-related AI in the future. But Google did say it might still take other military contracts down the road. And now for some related links. This is actually going to be something that old school listeners of mine might recognize as a Molly rant. If we are going to have a conversation about ethics in technology, then we really, really need to talk about apps for kids. Because apparently, the development of apps for kids exists in an ethical gray zone that is somewhere between clubbing baby seals and handing out raisins on Halloween. There's the part where they're designed to be totally addictive. There's the part where they're jammed with in-app payments, so kids and even adults accidentally end up spending like a car payment, buying extra coins or doohickeys to keep on playing, even in apps for kids as young as toddler age. There's the part where thousands of Android apps might be illegally collecting data on little kids, despite federal laws that say you can't collect data on kids younger than 13. And then, according to this great piece by Nellie Bowles in the New York Times on Tuesday, there's the part where researchers have discovered to their shock and horror that these apps are also jammed full of ads. Like the kind of ads where the host of the program pressures kids to buy stuff and then cries when they don't. Again, we're talking about apps designed for kids age 5 and under. And what is extra disturbing is that the wealthy techies who contributed so much to this ecosystem now realize how damaging it can be and they're restricting its use in their homes and their schools, leaving everyone else to let tablets crammed with ads babysit their kids. The application of ethics to technology is going to be a very long historical arc. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Sign up for our daily email newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 treat bags filled with some great Marketplace swag, including our high-powered phone charger, a pretty cool gadget you cannot get anywhere else. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.